You're listening to Breakthrough Assembly Podcast. Here at Breakthrough, we don't judge, just build. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you hear from God and receive your breakthrough today. Enjoy the message.
So we are going to get in this word today, and what I'm going to entitle this, I'm going to just entitle it, Keeping Things in Proper Perspective. So I want to talk about keeping things in proper perspective. You know, I want us to understand that in life, things are always going on. And I need us to understand, sometimes when we are too simplistic or closed-minded, we begin to think that things are only happening to us. And I need you to understand that that's a very dangerous place to be in when you begin to feel like it's just happening to you. Because isolation begins to kick in, and now you feel like everyone's against you. And then one of the biggest lies that we tell ourselves before we tell someone else, and we say, no one understands what I'm going through. I need you to understand, for all of us that's ever said that, that was a lie that came out of our mouth. The Bible tells us that there is nothing new under the sun, which means as the sun is turning, as the world is revolving, that there is nothing new that is happening today that has not happened previously. There is nothing that is coming your way that didn't come in your ancestors' way. Whether it's your mother, father, grandmother, relatives that you don't know and relatives that you don't like. It doesn't mean that things didn't come to them. It means that it's now happening to you and you have to learn how to adjust to that thing. Can somebody say the word adjustment? So in this thing, I want you to understand that we have to learn how to adjust. In ministry, I'm always teaching the ministers and training how to adjust in every aspect of our life, not just in the area of ministry, because ministry is the totality of life. Ministry is the totality of life, meaning that when you really get into learning about ministry, it should be every part of your walk. It should be every part of your conversation. It shouldn't be that you just learn about the thou and the thuses. It shouldn't be that you could just learn from Matthew or New Testament or Genesis, Old Testament or Revelation. It's that we should be able to apply everything that the word has said to every aspect of our life. So this is another reason when I say, when we're talking about keeping things in proper perspective, it's very important for us to be able to find out what is happening and give it unto God to say, Lord, show me how this affects me and how I am supposed to affect the world based on what is happening to me. Now, I want to get real quick. I want you to go into the book of Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Write it down, turn to it quick. Let's use those wrists. Wrists and fingers. Turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 16. When you get 16, flip over to, and we're going to land somewhere. So we're going to start with 16, and I think we're going to land at 25, I think. Okay? So 16 says, 16, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 16 says, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold? How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? Some of you would say, listen, Pastor, I don't care what that say. I'd rather have gold. Okay, anybody would rather have gold in here than wisdom? You could be honest. That's what the church is supposed to be. It's supposed to be in a place of honesty. Okay, I want you to understand, if you were handed wisdom, If you were handed gold without wisdom, you wouldn't know what to do with it. You'd misapply it, and you'd never be able to use it in the manner it was intended for you in the first place. But if you had wisdom before you received gold, you'd know how to apply it. You'd know how to invest it. You'd know how it would be a part of your inheritance. I want you, and I'm going somewhere with this one. So get me. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? See, we want the riches without the understanding, but the riches comes from the understanding. Once we become wise, we are able to take on something in a manner that we couldn't take it on before because we didn't know how to handle it. Wisdom cuts out emotionalism. I need you to get it. The wisdom cuts out emotionalism. The wiser that you become, the less emotional you become. The wiser you become, the more those things that bother you, the things that bothered you before, they don't bother you like they used to. And sometimes you don't even recognize you're getting wiser. You just think you're becoming numb. Other people will say you're becoming cold. Both are lies. You're not numb or cold. You're becoming wiser. You're able to put things in proper perspective. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You're able to say, yes, that's true, but that truth doesn't have the sting that it used to have over my life. You're able to say, yes, that happened, but that event no longer crippled me the way it used to before. Oh, that certainly happened, but it doesn't bring the tears anymore. It now brings the joy because I recognize that God has brought me not only through it, but he has brought me over that day. Are we getting this? Amen. Hallelujah. God is ministering already. I can feel it like soft butter on some nice bread. I don't know, it's the bread that Outback have. I don't know with the honey butter. But don't get me started on that one. Okay. I get distracted easily. Let's bring it in, everybody. Outside of that, after that, I'm like, who's going Outback with me after church? Listen, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? And to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. The highway to the upright is to depart from evil. In other words, the higher you go, the further that you should move from evil. You recognize when you're being uprooted by God and he's raising you up when the things that you did and even the things that you tolerated, you no longer have the tolerance for the things that you could tolerate before. You recognize, a lot of times, let me tell you, I want to be able to teach tonight if I can. A lot of times, God's giving you lessons without telling you, guess what, this is a lesson and this is the lesson plan. A lot of times, you're learning something and you didn't even know you were in school. And sometimes you find out, wait a minute, I'm not even entertaining that thought anymore, or I'm not even going to have that conversation. And then you recognize, wow, I think I've grown in that area. And then an epiphany happens. Wow, that doesn't bother me the way it used to. Hallelujah. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. When you keep this way, when you keep this direction, when you keep going up and not worrying about who's upset with you from you no longer with them. I want to tell you something. God doesn't want you to stay on that same level that you were on. And because God doesn't want you to stay on that level, by default, if you don't stay on that level, how can you stay with the people on that level? I want to be able to teach us tonight. I told you, Teresa, that you're in the building. I mean, Jesus was coming. I tried to tell you that when you first got here. I tried to tell you. You don't listen to me. Anyway, it's an inside thing. She knows what I'm talking about. Listen, I want you to understand that sometimes we say, Lord, I want to go where you want me to go. We say that, but we don't really mean it. Because what we don't know is that God has allowed things to happen without our permission, us knowing. And when he separates us from a level, by default, he has to separate us from people. And then we're like, well, wait a minute, Lord, if I'd have known I had to leave them, I wouldn't have said, I'll go where you want me to go. And see, that's the issue. That's what God doesn't say. That's when God says that there's a land over there, milk and honey. He's not going to tell you about the giants. He don't tell you everything purposely to find out, will you do it and say, yes, here I am, by the F word, not the curse word that you keep saying, and I'm praying for you. Faith. Amen. If I could sneak in a little tidbit and say, if I could really, really rock your world, a lot of times you don't recognize your future is tied to your faith. I want to drop some nuggets today. Your future is tied to your faith. That's why Christ said, be it unto you according to your faith. You can have it, but what are you willing to let go of in order to get it? What are you willing to walk away from? Now I got to put my foot on the speaker for a minute. You know it's serious when I got to do that. This is church property. Thank God I'm the pastor. Listen, what if God says you can have that, but you got to get rid of those thoughts? You're like, Lord, we didn't talk about that. Lord, what if he said you can have it, but some of our biggest security blankets are those thoughts that keep us warm at night. Those opinions, when you're lonely and you say, I know what to think about, and I not the Bible when it says think on these things, which is lovely and just and pure, but I let me think about that person that I'm mad at. That'll keep me busy while I'm in the car waiting for 10 minutes. Let me think about how that person did me wrong. Let me think about how I was there for that person. Let me think about all the things I did for him. And what you don't recognize is the devil like, come on, keep thinking about it. And your flesh like, okay, I got some more. And the devil like, bring it. And you're like, shoot, I can go deeper. And the devil said, come on, let's get it. And you're like, I got 15 minutes. And the devil like, I got 20. Come on. And next thing you know, now you done stirred yourself up. And now you're all emotional. Now you're all mad. And you're still saying, Lord, I want to go where you want me to go. But now God can't take you anymore. Because as I said before, when you're emotional, you are irrational. And when you're irrational, you get out of the will of God and you can no longer hear from God. When you get emotional, you become irrational. When you become irrational, you become out of the will of God because you can no longer hear God. Because all you hear is what your thoughts and your feelings, what your thoughts are saying, what your feelings are feeling. God wants to know, are you willing to rebuke yourself? Are you willing to tell yourself you will not have that conversation with yourself anymore? Are you willing to tell your brain that data must be erased? Are you willing to say that stuff happened, but God has taken me to another place and I will not be like Lot's wife and stuck in this spot with an invitation to go forward, but I couldn't cash it in because I got myself stuck. Amen. I need you guys to be quiet back there. It's important to understand, to put things in proper perspective. Yes, it happened. God was with me. God is delivering me. God is requiring more from me. Are you getting what I'm saying? That eliminates the hurt and the anger. How can you stay angry when you said, but God has delivered me? How can you stay hurt when you say, but God has delivered me? You can't be delivered and hurt. You can't be delivered and mad. You can't be delivered and sad. Oh, I wish I had somebody to help me tonight. The thing is, you can't have the horrible memories and the favor of God and walking by faith. Those can't go together. So we have to put things in proper perspective. Don't run from it. Acknowledge it. Yes, that happened. Yes, it was ugly. Whatever the case, fill in the blank with your life. It was uncomfortable, blah, 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 blah. But God was with me and he is still here now. So why will I reflect on something when that thing has nothing to do with who I am and where I'm going? Are you getting this? Do you have people in your life that you finally got to let it go? Because we battle with this. We come to the altar. We mess up the carpet because we keep coming up here for the same altar calls. And then we go back. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if this doesn't get delivered, how do we walk in deliverance? Amen. So, 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Man, when you are prideful and arrogant, a fall is coming. And how many times have we become prideful and arrogant in our own way, saying, I'm going to do it my way. And we say the most bold thing, I don't care what anybody think. Because once we say, I don't care what anybody think, I want you to know you're emotional, which means you're irrational, which means you cannot hear God, which means I don't care what you say, you're not walking in the will of God. Because if you say you don't care what nobody think, how can you listen to what God is saying? How can he use you to pray for somebody? How can he use you to be an example for somebody if you don't even care what they think? Amen. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. See, he that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. This is what I mean, keeping things in proper perspective. Admit that it happened. Admit that it was jacked up. Whatever the case may be, admit it, but then give it to the Lord so that you can be happy even in a bad situation. So you don't stay stuck with bad thoughts. Are you getting what I'm saying? This unlocks the hurt chain. One thing that I want to make sure, because for this church, this is the only church I pastor. For this church, this is our year of maturity. In order to get out of immaturity, we have to change our ways of thinking. So why bring up something that's going to naturally bring up bad feelings or bad thoughts? If it's dead, why are we carrying shovels? If it's over, why are we playing it back? Why y'all looking at me like that? Y'all the one bringing it back, not me. If it's over, if you said it's over, but yet you're still talking about it, how is it over? If you're saying they hurt me and I'm tired of them, why are you talking about them? Because it's only going to make you more tired. If you said they keep doing me wrong, I came to the altar to get help and I left and then I brought them back up again. Well, what happened at the altar? Keeping things in proper perspective. If we're going to go to the funeral, we have to recognize that when we leave, we're leaving them there. If we're going to go to the funeral, we're going to leave them there. And when we walk away, we know that we left them there. So if it's dead, why are we pulling up the coffin of something that we said was buried and over? Amen. Are we getting this? Is this sinking in? God is trying to help somebody break the chain of repetitive hurt. Repetitive hurt. If you keep getting hurt, God's not going to hand you a razor. You'll get that later. If you keep hurting yourself, the last thing he's going to do is give you a razor. So, in other words, he's not going to give you something that's going to inflame that thing. So God's not going to bring that person back to you or that thing back to you or that topic back to you. He doesn't want that to keep coming if it's harmful to you. He wants to remove all of the tools that you could use that would bring harm. So anything that's affecting that, he wants to remove it. But our issue is, and I've been in prayer, I said, Lord, help me with it. Our issue is our hurt is still attached to the individual and the thing. And even and so because we're not over them, we're not over it. And until we tell the truth and say, it is bad for me, they are bad for me, but I still have love for it or them. And then let God deal with that, because only the truth will make you free. But we have to be honest, and we can't be prideful, as this says, haughty. We can't say, I know I'm better than that. But if you're really not better than that, don't lie. That's why God created Breakthrough Assembly, for us to come and say, don't forget the local assembly, so we can come in spirit and in truth and say, I'm not over that. Yes, I should be, but I'm not, and I need help there. Honesty, transparency, that's maturity. Are we getting it? Because last year we were acting like we were okay when we weren't. Last year we were acting like we were tough when we weren't. Last year we were acting like we're not crying ourselves to sleep when we were. Yeah, are you getting what I'm saying? Maturity is saying, I'm where I shouldn't be. I don't want to stay this way. I need help. That's maturity. That's maturity. Not where I'm supposed to be. Don't want to stay here. Don't want to repeat this again. So I need help. And I'm willing to talk about it now. And I'm believing that God has brought me to a place that I can talk about it. And without going back to my past of how somebody hurt me or mistreated me. And we all said we've already been there, done that. But let's move on from that so we can get to the healing facility. I think God is working on some people today. It says in verse number 21, the wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increases learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that has it, but the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. But there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways. And that's what we want to get out of what seems right to us. That's what we have to get out of. Seems right. Seems right. Seems right. Seems fair. Seems the right way to do. There's sometimes, we have to understand, there are two testaments in the Bible. There's the Old Testament, where there were a lot of wars. There was a lot of killing in the Old Testament. And there was a lot of those wars and a lot of those killings that God was the overseer of. If you really read your Bible, you'd understand that David had the heart of God, and God chose David to be the warrior to fight for him in the things of God. And what we don't understand is sometimes there is a violent acts that we must do to get godly results. Now, hear me, disclaimer. Your pastor's not telling you to go out and kill anybody. Let me say that while we're streaming and recording this live, okay? Before you get any ideas and go in that parking lot, hear me. I did not tell you. CG, you hear me? I did not tell you to do that, no matter who upsets you on your way here. What I'm saying is, okay, what I'm saying is there's a way that seems right, but at the end, there's death. And I'm trying to avoid that. I know it was a desire for you to do it, but it's not right. Okay. And it doesn't mean that death, that we stop breathing. It means that we stop living in the manner that God created us to live. That's the death. Are we getting this tonight? It may seem right to our natural eyes or our natural sight. It doesn't mean it's of God. Can I tell you something? Sometimes God wants you to cut off the well to somebody so for them to recognize that they can no longer receive from you.
That's good. That's so good.
Yeah. Can I go deeper? I'm trying, CG, I'm trying. Sometimes God wants you to have a well-oiled machine that you pumping water and it's flowing and everybody can just hear it flowing, knowing you have the water. When they come and say, can I have some? You must have a strong no. And they're like, but you have it. Yes, I do, but it's not for you. Oh, my God. Oh, I feel this thing. But see, now you have to battle everything you think is right. Because you're like, as a child of God, I should feed everybody. Who told you that? Show me where that's in the Bible. Because if you haven't marked, as the Bible says, sometimes you have to mark them and avoid them. If you haven't marked them, how do you know if they are good for you or not? If you haven't marked them and avoided them, how do you know whether to avoid them or embrace them? There are some people that is flowing in this world that I have no intention on ever talking to them more than 5 seconds. The Bible told me, and I do what this word says. The Bible told me. The Bible told me to show love. And I do that. And I check that bucket. I see him. Hey, how you doing? Praise the Lord. What do I need to have a conversation? Because the more I have it, the more I'm not going to be able to be who I am, genuine and transparent and for real. I don't ever want to go into the phony land. The more I talk to you, the phonier this thing is going to be. So I need to cut it. So I can stay honorable unto God. I showed them love, but I also showed them the distance. That we're not there anymore. It's my fault. Come here, wife. Take your mask off. You know, we live in the same house. Come on. She's somebody. Hold on. I have marked her and I have avoided her and I told God she's marked. Okay? We're just acting. I told God she on the list. I told God, listen, that woman has hurt me and I'm whole now. I'm healed now. I'm healthy now. But I had to go to Walmart. Those who know me know I hate Walmart anyway. So I'm already mad that I'm in a store that I don't even like. And then, oh, Lord, I turn to the right and I see her. Now, let's say that TV show, what would you do? Now you see somebody that you done marked and avoided. Would you A? See, what would you do? Would you A, go the phony route that you think a believer's supposed to do? Hey, girl, come here. Oh, my God, come here, girl. How you doing? Oh, how your mama, how your sister, how everybody? Okay, good. Really? I've been praying for you. Is it okay? Oh, yeah. Oh, girl, everything working out? Oh, God. You know what? You know we moved our church, right? Yeah, girl, we over there on Lakeshore, beautiful building. You know, come see us. I will text you the email address, okay? All right, good. See you, girl. That's A. Now you're like, why did I say that? Why did I invite her? You did it. You did it. Now you're regretting. You're talking to yourself while you're shopping. Now people think you're crazy. And you did it. Or you can do B. You can do B. Step in the camera light. Sit right there. I know I see her. But I'm going to act like I'm so busy on my shopping list. What's that? Okay. And I'm going to just run away. That's B. Or C. I see her. Don't want to see her. But Lord, I know I'm supposed to be better. And oh, this is my year of maturity. Why did I have to see her this year? Why not last year? Why not December 31st? Why have to be in the new year? Because I could have avoided it last year and prayed for forgiveness. But, oh, you're calling me to a higher place. All right. Hey, how you doing? Good, good. Okay. See that? See that? See that? See that? Guess what? I ain't lose nothing. I can check off I showed him love. I was like, God, you recorded that, right? Roll the tape back, God. I was a child of God. Amen. And keep it moving. You got to keep things in proper perspective. See, why walk with the hurt? And then now, say, Lord, thank you for that. I didn't know how I would be until I was tested. Thank you for bringing that person to me, because now I know I'm better than I used to be. And I keep going. Sometimes we don't know where we are, so God has to bring something to us to test us on where we are. And if we fall back and we slip, guess what? You're going to watch another rerun. It's going to happen again until you pass the test, and then you don't have to take it again. You can run from place to place. You can change churches every year, every 2 years. You're still going to run into the same people until you pass the test. Are you getting that? So in that what would you do breakthrough version, you have three options. We owe no man nothing but love. And on version three, I showed the love, didn't ignore the person, didn't act like I didn't see the person, acknowledged them, amen. But I remember that I put them on the mark them and avoid them. Okay, and I avoided any further conversations by having the distance and having the distance with my tone and my communication, letting them know we're no longer where we used to be. There are boundaries. We don't need to hug. We don't need to dap it. And it has nothing to do with COVID. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That's walking as a child of God. Are you understanding that? You say, but Pastor, that seemed rude. What you want? I mean, what do you want? Do you want to be free or not? All right. Hopefully that helps somebody. Proverbs 23 for me. Proverbs 23, verse number 12. Are we there? 23:12. It says, apply thine heart unto instruction, and thy ears to the words, what?
Of knowledge.
Of knowledge. Are we getting this? Are we getting this? We have to apply our heart unto instruction. Apply thy heart to instruction and thy ears to the word of knowledge. We have to take that broken heart and take it to the instruction of God so we can get healed. In that thing. Don't say, I got it on my own. You don't. Don't say, I'll handle it on my own. You're not going to handle it well. Are you getting one? And don't be afraid to say, I have a damaged heart. Okay? And I need some instruction with it. But then you have to apply the instruction that you were given, knowing immediately after the instruction, there will be a test on the instructions, whether or not you are going to apply those things or not. Are we getting this thing? Keeping things in proper perspective. We all weren't created to be friends. We all weren't created to get along. Need you to understand this. You won't get along with everybody, and everybody won't like you. Need you to understand that breakthrough. Listen, I know you love you some Jesus, but they don't like you. I have three words for you. Get over it. Okay. Stop trying to find out the stuff that they like so they can receive you better. Stop trying to find out what they think is funny so you can tell jokes that it's not even funny to you. Just get over it. Okay? You don't need them as a friend. Let it go. Some people won't receive you well. Stop thinking something's wrong with you. I need these words to sink in. I don't want to just waste these words and toss them up here. I need you to receive. Everybody, I don't care how bubbly, I don't care whatever your personality, everybody won't receive you well. Some people were going to look at you and size you up and put you in a box, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Amen.
Three words. Get over it. Some people are going to hold you responsible of things that you did in the past, and no matter what you do, they won't release you from where they have put you. Get over it. Putting things in proper perspective. And let me go deeper. Unfortunately, not everybody wants to change. So not everybody will. I feel like I got my teacher's hat on today. I want to teach our church. I want us to be wise. Not everybody wants to change, and not everybody will. Now I need to go even deeper. I have to go deeper. There are some people that you prayed for years to change, and I have sad news for you. They're not going to change because they don't want to change. And the most difficult thing is for you to release yourself from the assignment of waiting to see the day for them to change. Because the truth of the matter is, what we're really doing is waiting for the moment for us to see our prayers unveil. And that's the real issue. It's not even the individual. It's the investment that we put into them from the prayers. And what we have to do is release us from the assignment of seeing the prayers unveiled. And then we get our release. But we have to release ourselves, because what you're saying, that means what you're telling me is I have to give up on them. I'm telling you to give up on them and give them unto God. But if you don't give up on them, you're still holding accountability and ownership of the assignment of seeing them where you prayed them to be. And that is one of the most difficult things a human being can do, specifically somebody who believes in the prayer of God and has seen God move. And that's why we still do things for them we don't want to do. We still answer the phone from them we don't want to answer, because we're still saying, but today might be the day. This might be the time. The prayer, I might see it. You got to release yourself and say, even if the prayer happens, I don't have to be there. And the prayer can be unveiled with them and a whole different family and have nothing to do with me. And amen. Separate yourself from the prayer.
Amen.
Otherwise, you'll say, well, it's not fair, because I prayed for that to work out with me. I didn't pray it for it to blossom with somebody else. That's the issue. I didn't put all my prayers into that guy for all these years for him to become the prince I want him to be with another one. I've been praying for that boy man for all these years. I'm not trying to have him become the man that I put my time in. So that's it's not even the person. It's the attachment and the investment that we feel we have put in. I'm trying to help us put things in proper perspective tonight. That's what it means truly when we say let go and let God. When somebody has disappointed us, let go of what you wanted them to be, how you wanted them to be, what you expected them to do and to be, and to let go and let God so that you could live your life with no attachments and no investments. You mean to tell me I might lose my investment? I put all my time and... You mean to tell me I may have nothing to show for all the work that I put in? Now we're in maturity class. That's the difference between maturity and immaturity. And maturity say, I pray that they, everything I pray for them, I pray that it happens, but it can happen without me. That's maturity. Hurtful, devastating, but necessary. Whether it ever happens for them or it doesn't, I have to detach myself from what I want. It's me, oh Lord. I thought it was really them. They're not attached to me. I'm still attached. I can't get past the disappointment. Why? Because you invested yourself expecting something, and the disappointment is because of you and your obligation that you and investment. But when you pull your investment, you're no longer disappointed because it's not on you anymore. Oh, Lord, help me tonight. So, we have to be coachable. We have to be trainable. We have to be able to give our heart to God and let God move in our life and let God speak to us. Let God poke us. Let him massage our heart. We have to be honest. We have to say, I love God, but I'm going through some things. No longer saying I'm okay. Come to church to say I'm okay. Go home to cry. Come home, hug everybody. Go home, say I'm all by myself. We have to break the cycle. I don't trust anybody because I've been hurt. Okay. Three words. Get over it. Pastor, that's cold. It's cold outside. Get over it. Life is not fair. Life is not fair. If life was fair, women, sorry, you wouldn't have to have that cycle every month for something you didn't even do. Life's not fair. Okay? You're dealing with something that, because of one woman. You think that's fair? Life's not fair. Amen. And you mean to tell me that all my life I'm going to be mad at Adam because I have to work to pay my bills because he had a fluffy job until he didn't do his manly duties and then God told him, now you're going to have to work hard, brother. So you think I'm going to be mad all my life talking about I can't wait till I see Adam? That's how we live. It's feeling ridiculous. Talking about it ain't fair. Move on. Are we seeking, by the end, are we seeking wisdom or are we seeking relief? Are we really seeking wisdom? Do we really want to get better or do we just want to feel better? That's an important question to be able to get the answer to. Because if you just want to feel better, I hate to tell you, but I have to tell you as your pastor, that's a temporary fix. But if you want to get better, that's a permanent thing. And you'll learn how to assess things properly and put things in proper perspective and put things, different things on the shelf and say, I don't even need to deal with that. Or, you know what, I don't even have to take care of that. Or, you know what, I'll deal with that, but that's a whole nother time. Or that, I'm just going to pray about that thing. This I can do right now. Putting things in proper perspective without thinking I have to handle everything and we're all tired because we're doing all these things and God didn't call us to do any of them. Proverbs 24, I'm going to read real quick 3 through 7. Proverbs chapter 24, 3 through 7. Through wisdom is a house builded. Through wisdom, a house is builded. And by understanding, so it's built on wisdom. It's established by understanding. The more you, the more understanding you get, the more it becomes established. The more understanding we get in the things of God, the more we become established. The more when we come to church and we learn and say, oh, I didn't know that. Guess what? Now things are being established in you. You say, I never knew that. Good. Now it's the establishment is happening. It's one thing to build anything, but to establish it, that's a whole different thing. That's the growth. That's the expansion comes with the establishment, not the building. Because you can build on something. Don't just work on the structure. Build on it. Are you getting this? So it says so many people they're excited when they finally get a building or they get a thing, a structure. A structure is just a structure, but it has no establishment. So this is why so many times, women, you crack me up. You get a guy, he's the height you want, you know, he got the eye color you want. You start envisioning your children with him and all of this thing, but he's just a structure. There's no establishment. Now you're trying to put drapes on a person that don't want drapes. Now you're trying to put carpet on something that they want hardwood. And now you're frustrated. Now you want to start praying to God. Shouldn't you pray for him before you ran to the building and claimed the building? For, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war. You see that? Make thy war. And in multitude of counselors there is safety. Wisdom is too high for a fool. Did you read that? Wisdom is too high for a fool. Why are you getting mad at the fool? A fool can only be what it is, a fool. The wise people shouldn't talk to fools because it only makes angry wise people. And then you lose your wisdom because you got to dumb down what God gave you. Wisdom is too high for a fool. Stop. If God has brought wisdom unto you and you start engaging with a fool, all you're going to bring is anger. Period. Well, I love him. Listen, I hate to tell you, but you love a fool. Now let's deal with that so we can separate you. Let's deal with the feelings that you are in love with the fool. Let's work on that. Let's deal with the truth. Now you can get free. Now let's work on it so we can do the exercises to bring the separation. Amen. But when we keep lying, I hate him. Well, if you really hated him, you wouldn't keep talking to him because you don't keep talking to somebody that you hate. All right, let's just move on. All right. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. Are we really seeking wisdom or relief? If we're seeking wisdom, sometimes we have to bring separation to something that at some point in our life brought us comfort. We have to bring separation to things that at one point brought us comfort. Unfortunately, we have to bring separation to people that at one point brought us comfort. We have to release ourselves from places that brought us comfort. We have to release ourselves from ideas and ideologies that used to bring us comfort. It used to be easy for you to say nobody understands. It was easy for you to say it because you didn't have to talk to people, because if you said they don't understand, why would you talk to somebody that you already say they won't understand? So it was a self-protecting mechanism for saying they don't understand. And now, why would I talk to anybody? Because you're not even gonna understand. So it's easy for you to shut down and stay secluded. So to separate yourself from that ideology means now I got to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Now I can't say the things I used to, because what used to bring me comfort, I don't want to be comforted by lies anymore. Last but not least, go to Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 17, and I'm going to end with this one. Proverbs 27, 17. It says, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. If you're not being sharpened by the person God called you to be, they're not your friend. You can't even call them your friend unless they're keeping you sharp. If you're getting dull in the things of God and both of y'all call yourselves Christians, one of y'all not friends. If you're letting me do things that you know is going to bring me eventual separation from the things of God, you're not my friend. If you're my friend, I'm going to put you in a higher level. I'm going to expect you to call me out on things. I'm going to expect you to be able to see things in the spirit that the other ones that I walked away from. I walked away from them because I don't trust myself with them anymore. And I brought myself closer to you because I trust you to be able to protect me and cover me in the spirit realm. Because I labeled you as a friend. When I was a young person, I just labeled anybody who wanted to eat during lunch period with me a friend. Now, as a level of maturity, And now, just because you gave me your hostess cupcake, I'm not going to call you my friend. Friend, I need to make sure that you can protect me. You can see things in the spirit realm for me. You can see that I'm trying to go back to something that you prayed for me to come out of, and you won't let me go back there, even if I make you mad for a night or two. Even if you temporarily block me, it's okay. I know I did what God called me to do. Keeping things in proper perspective. Are we being pushed or are we being prosecuted? Sometimes we think we're being prosecuted. No, you're being pushed by God. Why is all this stuff happening to me? Because God is pushing you into your next level. Why I got to deal with five things at once? Because now you can handle more than two things at the same time. Why are all these people calling me? I got problems of my own. God didn't call you for your problem. He called you for theirs. Why are these people asking me for my opinion? I don't even know what to do. Seek and ye shall find. Now, I'll give you the words for them while you keep following me. Putting things in proper perspective. That's one thing that we don't understand about ministry. There's a lie from the pit of hell that people think when you're called into the ministry, you begin to know everything. That's one of the biggest lies that the devil has ever told. Actually, it's one of the best ones. I got to give him that. That's a good one. I do. I won't give him credit, but I got to give him that. That's a good one. Because people think when we're called, we become perfect. And that's as far from the truth. What we become is more tired than we were before. Because now we're just not fighting ourselves, but we're fighting for you. We still have our own issues, but now we're not just called to ourselves. Now we're called to you. Now you think we're perfect because when you speak to us, God gives us a word for you. He's giving us a word for you. He ain't giving us a word for us. He's telling us to walk by faith while he's giving us the exact word for you. So you say, well, how did you know all of that? God told me that for you, but he ain't tell me nothing for me. He just told me to keep walking by faith. And then for us, it gets frustrating sometimes because you're like, well, how come you have me praying for all these people and I'm still going through? He said, I called you for my people. I didn't call you for yourself. Well, Lord, I still got all this stuff. How could I be called by God? Show me one of the disciples that was perfect before Christ told them, pick up your cross and follow me. And by the way, leave your family members and come on with me. And they'll find out eventually you with me. Christ trips me out. I love him. That was a bad boy. He was so bad. He told all of these grown men, come and follow me. He ain't even walked them back to their house and talked to their wives and say, sorry, old lady. Sorry, little Johnny. Peter got to come with me. He just told them to come up. He will interrupt your life just like that and say, let's go without training. I'll train you while you come with me. They had issues. That's why I love the Bible. That's why Thomas, when people said doubting Thomas, Thomas was always questioning things. He was probably the most inquisitive little boy he ever was. He was questioning things as a grown man. Peter couldn't stop cussing to save his life, and he always had a knife with Jesus. He always had a knife. So he always had that roughneckism. People think when we get called, we just turn into the Holy of Holies. And we don't have to face and fight anything. We still battle ourselves more because we're called to a higher level. So it's even harder for us to deal with ourselves.
Yes.
So I want you to know, it will never be easy. But accept the calling because it will be worth it. It won't get better. It gets more challenging, but it becomes beautiful. It doesn't get better. It gets beautiful. That's what I need you to understand. It doesn't get better. It's not better. Like, Pastor, is it easier for you? Nothing is easy about none of this. But I get to see the beauty for the ashes. It doesn't get easier. And if you're trying to say, well, when does it get easy? When we take our last breath. And we ascend unto heaven. That's what I want you to understand. Keeping things in proper perspective. You'll always be hated by the enemy. People will try to set you up. They'll lift you up. They'll drag you down. They'll promise you everything. They'll walk away from you. You'll have to keep forgiving people. When your flesh says, I don't want to. And you say, that's why I'm killing you, flesh. So that the spirit man can live in. Now we're rebuking ourselves. We're killing our flesh. We're walking in love when we used to want to walk in hate and anger. We're able to see more and achieve more because God says, be it unto us according to our faith. So we have high faith. So we get higher things. And people think that we're living a better life. Well, we are living a better life, but you don't understand all of the damage that goes on that God covers up. You got to keep things in proper perspective. There'll always be good and evil. There'll always be ups and downs, right and wrong, stressful things. That stuff won't ever go away. The judgment increases. You're constantly watched. Everything you say is recorded. Your memory, sometimes you got to ask God to block out stuff so that you can walk in love. But keeping things in proper perspective. It doesn't get better, but it does get beautiful. It gets beautiful because you get to see how God is using you. And you're like, oh my God, Lord, you're using me. And you know all the things that I'm still going through. And you keep showing up. Lord, you keep talking to me. Lord, you're talking to me more now than you talked to me then. And I'm not even delivered in this or this yet, and you're talking to me more. And it makes you say, oh, my God, well, how much more close could we be if when I get over this? And when you finally get over that, you're like, oh, my God. And then, but there's always something else, because that's one thing that I learned from Bishop T.D. Jakes said a long time ago, the higher the level, higher the devil. Kingdom, the higher the demonic realm see you. Now, one thing that you got to understand, you get to a certain level and you understand your rank. You know who you are. You don't fear anything. But just because you don't fear anything don't mean you don't face anything. Because this too shall pass. But you got to keep it in proper perspective. You got to let go of the hurt and say, Lord, I give you that hurt. I give you the anger. I don't know how to separate. I want to. Lord, you spoke to me tonight. You have unveiled truth to me tonight. Now let me stay in truth from this moment on. Let me not go back to my default, which is hiding in pride. Let me never want to go back to that person that I smiled when I was in pain. Let me cry until I laugh naturally. heal the brokenness in me. Purify me, Lord Jesus. I give you my all, everything. I give you the broken pieces. I give you the darkness, Lord God. I give you the lies I told myself. I give you everything, Lord God. I'm putting things in proper perspective. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I'm not blaming anyone anymore. I'm not accusing anyone of anything anymore. I don't even want to be angry with anybody. I just want to be at peace with you from this moment on. I don't want to walk in judgment anymore, Lord God. I need to dismiss myself from my thoughts and my judgments and my control issues, Lord God, of it being the way I wanted it to be, Lord God. I dismiss myself from everything I initiated from this moment on, Lord God. I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you that sometimes what you say don't feel good, but it's good for me. I thank you for touching my spirit tonight. I thank you that you made sure I was able to not only hear this word, but get up under this word today. Thank you for it falling on good ground. And thank you for loving me past myself, showing me who I am when I'm not there yet, telling me who I am before I become it, and loving me as though I am that person that I haven't yet become. Because all things work together for the good of him that love him and are called according to his purpose. I now surrender my all unto your purpose for me. And I disavow myself of my previous purpose. I thank you for this night. I thank you for this word. I thank you for you, and I thank you for your relationship with me. And thank you for loving me so much that you gave your only begotten son, that I wouldn't perish, but I would have everlasting life through you. Thank you for that. Thank you for teaching me tonight how to put things in proper perspective and to be honest beyond even what I knew was honesty. Thank you for there being no more hiding places for me. I surrender all my hiding places. I surrender all my lies and excuses. Let me be vulnerable even when I'm uncomfortable. Let me be transparent even when I'm uncomfortable. Let me trust you in all that you have for me from this moment on. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I pray that this word fell on not only good ground, but I pray that you grabbed a hold of this. I pray that you have taken it in and you take it with you and apply it. And I pray that you take this message and you listen to it a couple of times, and you either watch this message or you listen to it on our podcast, and you listen to it either in the car or you watch it, whatever you need to do, however what's best for you, but get it in a couple of times. This is one of those words you want this thing, soak in this thing, because this is a life-changing one, putting it in proper perspective so you'll never go back and resort to who you used to be from this night. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Until we see each other again, God bless, and give somebody some love before you leave this place. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that you received something and that you're one step closer to your breakthrough. Do us a favor. If you enjoyed this message, be sure to share it with your family and friends. And if you're looking for a way to support the ministry, visit the link in this episode's description to see how you can give today.